Hallelujah. You loving Jesus? Yes. He's loving you. I'm going to have a good time this week, whether you do or not. That's up to you, but praise the Lord. And a couple of quick announcements. If you are on Facebook, I'm desperate and need friends. And type in Woody Woodson if you want to, but put in Preacher Woody Woodson, because everyone else, it's like Woody Woodson and John Smith are the two most popular names. But if you put in Preacher Woody Woodson, there's only one of me. And if you do, please let me know where you're from, because we get like, you know, we've been getting like 50 or 60 requests every week. And sometimes they're bogus type things. So if we don't recognize where someone's from, if they have a reason to know me, I don't put them on, because then we have to. What I like about Facebook is I quickly can remove things if I need to. But I want to keep things clean. So that's, it's just safeguards on that. And we got some CDs back there. If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to just get right in the Word. I love the Word of God. And I'm in a zone right now. So, you know, just hopefully I'm going to bring you into my world. So let's go to Psalm 126. In fact, I'm going to be on Psalm 126 until Jesus tells me to get off of it. So I may be on it for a long time. It's like Brother Hagin had Mark 11. Right now I have Psalm 126. Hallelujah. But we're going to talk about living God's dream. God began to deal with me this year in the beginning of the year. And he said, you need to tell my people it's okay to dream again. And he said, one of the problems in the body of Christ is one of the major problems we've had is we've lost the ability to dream. And, you know, what I found out as little children, their whole life is a dream world. And that's why they're so happy. Come on now. See, well, you know, as long as you're living a dream, you're happy. And literally every one of you, God has a dream for you. He has a plan for you. Come on. And literally, you are God's dream seed on earth. So let's go to Psalm 126. And you know, we're going to get in this from all different angles before the week is over. And some of you that are partners, you're going to hear some of the same stuff, but you're going to hear a lot of new stuff coming towards the end of the week, especially. But Psalm 126 says, when the Lord brought back or turned the captivity of Zion. I believe God's about ready to turn things again in this nation. I believe that God wants to restore the American dream. And I don't believe it's going to be restored until the church knows how to dream again. Because I honestly believe the pulpit of America, if it's anointed, can literally cause this nation to dream again. Egypt had no dreams until Joseph showed up. No one had dreamed in Egypt. When Joseph showed up, even the political leaders started having dreams. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because he had the anointing. Come on. So, you know, I believe God wants to again get this place out of the doldrums. And, you know, my whole life has been living a dream. You know, I started thinking about that. As a little kid, I dreamed of playing professional baseball. And when I was 20 years old, I ended up facing Nolan Ryan in spring training camp for Cincinnati Reds organization. And, you know, I was living the dream. And then God changed dreams on me. And, you know, I had a dream of preaching. And honestly, I had no opportunities. I just had a dream. But what I'm living today is yesterday's dream. And God wants to give you a dream for tomorrow. Come on now. That if you'll hold on to it and you keep walking towards it, one day you'll be living in your dream world. Come on. And that's what God wants. Every church should be a dream center. Come on. So God says when he brought back the captivity of Zion or turned it. How many of you have things that need to be turned this year? Come on now. We were like those who dream. I found out something. Without a dream, you're a slave. You know, you're a captive. But the dream is what brings you out of captivity. And it says, then our mouth was filled with laughter. Because I'll be honest with you, without a dream, you're sad. And the church is sad because it has no dream. Come on now. But then your mouth will be filled with laughter. And it says, our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the heathen, I love this. They said, among the nations or among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. It's one thing when Christians say, well, you're blessed. It's another thing when the world, when the world looks at the church and says there's a difference. When the world looks at us and they look at our marriages, and they may not call us blessed, they may call us lucky, but it's the same thing to them. It's their way of saying you're blessed. Come on now. When they look and they see a difference between the unbeliever and the believer, and there should be. Does this make sense to you? And it says the nation said, "How you know the Lord has done great things for them." And I love this thing because it goes on to say this, because God's about ready to, you know, release the dreams in us. And we are glad. Restore our captivity, O God, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears will reap with joyful shouting. And he goes to and fro, weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bring the sheaves with him. Every dream that God gives involves harvest in some way. It's not just about us. If it's a dream from God, it's to impact the world. God wants to bless you to make you a blessing. Come on now. God literally wants to get something to you so he can get it through you. Amen. And literally, you know, even when we're learning to pray, you know, when you pray, you should be praying the dream. Because earth's dream is heaven's reality. So you pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'll guarantee you something, if earth was like heaven, we'd be living in a dream world. Come on now, do you hear what I'm saying? And some of you, honestly, God wants at least, he wants you to be the entry point of heaven on earth. The gateway. Where people can at least experience some of God. So we have to watch some things. You know, you're not old until your regrets take the place of your dreams. Think about that. And the reason why most people don't dream, and I'm going to repeat some things I've preached before, but I don't care. You didn't remember. You probably didn't hear them the first time. No, just kidding. Some of you. That's why I found out. You know, you can repeat. Try doing it sometime, Pastor. Preach the same exact message next week, and everyone, that was good. Never heard that before, but it's true. But, you know, one of the reasons we don't dream is because we're living in disappointment. And 1 Peter 2:6 says, those who trust in the Lord shall not be disappointed. Romans 10:11, it says, those who trust in the Lord shall not be disappointed. Psalm 22, verse 5 says that they were in despair. They cried out to him. They trusted in the Lord and they were not disappointed. God doesn't repeat himself because he has nothing better to say. He's not paid by the word. You know, it's not like a Dickens novel where he got paid by the word, and that's why they were so long. But you didn't know that. That's true. It actually is true. It was great writing, but it didn't have to be as long. I always got the clip books anyway. But this is a confessional. But, you know. But the bottom line is that when you're disappointed, you're not trusting. The opposite of of trust is disappointment. You know, how many people understand when you're disappointed, it's not because something good happened. You don't say, that was great, I'm so disappointed. You're disappointed because something you were believing for didn't happen, or something that bad that you didn't expect did happen. And the bottom line is stuff happens. But you're going to have to learn how to trust God in the midst of it. Come on now. You have to say, God, this is not good. But Romans 8:28 says, you work all things together for good. This is not a good thing, but this is going to work for me, not against me. Because you didn't say you just work all good things together for good. You say you work all the stuff. So it's going to work for me, not against me. Does this make sense to you? See, once you get to the place where you believe that no weapon formed against you prospers, you don't get shaken because you're under attack. If you believe what the enemy meant for evil, God works for good, then let me put something into your life. Literally, what that very thing that was meant to destroy you will promote you. Because there's more good that will come to your life because of the attack, because that stuff that God's working for good, that's good that wouldn't have come without the attack. Now, that doesn't mean we welcome attacks, but it just means that we understand that the attacks can work for us. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? There has to be that man. When you're trusting God, you know what most people do is they shut themselves, I'll never get hurt again. They stop dreaming. Well, you know, it's too painful to have dreams that don't come to pass. It's more painful to have no dreams. Yeah. Come on now. And who says the dream hasn't? It hasn't come to pass yet. Yeah. Who says it won't happen? Come on now. Anytime God wants to change the world, he gives a dream or a vision. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. had a dream. Even after they killed the dreamer, the dream still lives on. It changed the nation. Many of you, God wants to give you dreams that will change your family forever. Come on now. May change this area. God has a higher calling. Come on. We should be operating in revelation knowledge. We shouldn't be operating in the natural. We should be able to see things that unbelievers can't see. Because we have the Spirit of God in us. Come on. You catching this yet? See, God wants to anoint your head with fresh oil because most of your problem is between your ears. Come on now. Most of us have stinking thinking. And you know something? Most of us, our thoughts are either anointed or annoying. You know, and God literally wants to put oil all over your head. Amen. And if the result will be the cup overflows. God wants the church to be in an overflow mode. Amen. We're living from the inside out, not from the outside in. The world lives from the outside in. They walk by sight. We walk by spiritual sight. That's insight, not outside. Come on now. Amen. You know, and we see things differently. At least we should. Does this make sense? Let me show you what God showed me. Every year I start off by preaching in Kentucky. I start every year doing that. In the last several times I've had visions, it's been while I'm driving. That's why you should pray before you ever get behind the wheel of a car, because I may be driving on the same road you are. In fact, I asked God, I said, God, how come I have visions when I drive? He said, because it's the only time you ever sit still. I don't even sleep still. So it's hard for him to give me dreams because I'm always moving, man. But you know, when I'm behind the wheel of a car, I'm stuck. That's usually when he shows me stuff. And I'm driving to Kentucky, and I see rain coming down like a fine mist. It's an open vision because it's a sunny day, but that's not what I see. And all of a sudden, as far as I could see, by that time I pulled the car over to the side of the road just for the safety of everyone around me. But I could see millions and millions of stopped up wells worldwide. I said, Lord, what is going on? And all of a sudden, as the mist was coming down, I began to hear a gurgling under the earth. And all these stopped up wells, and I recognized some of the nations because I've been there. And the stopped up wells literally begin to get unstopped. It was like a drawing power from the water coming down. And the water began to come out of the wells to meet the water that was coming down. And literally as they met each other, there was a major explosion. And fire began to spread worldwide. And God began to show me that was like the former and latter rain together. That all the anointing that's ever been is still in the earth. You know, all Robert's anointing, even though he went home to be with the Lord in December, still in the earth. Catherine Coleman's, Elijah's, even Jesus himself. Yeah. Jesus, he said, you know, he wasn't allowed to take the Holy Spirit with him. Holy Spirit's still on the earth, moving. Why? Because the anointing's for people on earth right now. Come on now. And we're literally, what the last days is going to do is we're going to tap into all the anointing that's still residue. And we're going to get the new anointing. Come on now. And the combination is going to be the greatest explosion you've ever seen. I believe that. Now, some people don't, but I don't care. You can live sad. I'm going to live in my own little dream world. And don't wake me up, baby. I like it. I like living the dream. You know, sometimes I have to remind myself I'm living yesterday's dream and I'm living in a dream world, but sometimes I've been here so long, I get a little frustrated because I got other dreams to move on to. Come on. Am I helping anyone yet? See, literally, this year will be characterized by fire, and we need to be red hot in spirit, red hot in spirit. We need to be being filled with the Holy Ghost. Not just one filling, but stay full, stay full, stay full to overflowing. Come on now. We need, and the Spirit of God began to deal with me so strongly on this. He said one of the biggest problems in the body of Christ is we have the Spirit of the Lord in us. We don't have the Spirit of the Lord upon us. And he said, without the Spirit of the Lord upon us, there's no manifestation of the kingdom. None. Jesus didn't say the Spirit of the Lord is in me, therefore he's anointed me. He said the Spirit of the Lord's upon me, therefore he's anointed me. 1 Samuel 10:6 says the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily and change you into another man. Jesus' last command to the church was see to it that you don't leave Jerusalem until you're clothed. Clothed. Outwardly clothed with power from on high. Come on. You know? And our problem is we have the Holy Ghost in us, but our flesh isn't covered. And because our flesh is not covered, God, in the last days, God's going to pour His Spirit upon all flesh. When Jesus comes back for a glorious church, it will be a flesh-covered church. It will be literally covered by the anointing of God. And that is when that begins to take place on the earth will see the manifestation of the sons of God, because the same Spirit that was on the Son of God will be on His kids on the earth. It won't just be in them, it will be upon them. It'll be manifest presence of God. This is the only way Jesus is ever manifest. How was he manifest the first time? Angel came to Mary, said, "You're going to have a child." She said, "How can this be?" She didn't question whether it could. She just said, "Hey, I'm a virgin. I've never had a relation. How am I going to have a child?" And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. He'll come upon you. He'll cover you. And the result will be the manifestation of the Son of God." That's the way it's always been. It's anytime people see Jesus, because the Holy Ghost came on someone's flesh. Let me show you the difference between, you know, my spiritual father, Oral Roberts, went home to be with the Lord in December. And I love Oral. I mean, we were closely associated with the family. My wife wrote for Oral for 10 years. And, you know, I got a chance to spend a little bit of personal time with one of the greatest men of God of any generation. But, you know, what I loved about his tent meeting days is this is what he told me. He said, "Woody," he said, "I wouldn't even come on the platform until I knew the Holy Spirit was on me." He said, "Sometimes they'd sing for hours before I'd come out." He said, "Because there are times I would come out and I didn't have that tangible presence on me and no miracles took place." He said, "When that presence came on me, it was like it was Jesus himself walking out. And I saw the results that Jesus had." And I think our problem is we've had too much ministry in flesh. Let me show you how the difference between the Spirit of the Lord in and the Spirit of the Lord's upon. When the Spirit of the Lord's upon you, you do things you normally wouldn't do. Several years ago, I was holding a meeting, and I get nervous when people announce this is going to be a miracle meeting. The reason I do is because a lot of it, I hate to say it, but more of it's dependent on the people in the congregation than a lot of times than on me. Because even if there are places Jesus came, and he couldn't do any mighty miracles because of unbelief. And if people aren't believing, there's not much you're going to see.
That's right.
So I get nervous when people build things, because how many times have you read revival and there was no revival? It was a misnomer. Come on now, it was just a long week. And I don't want that. So, when they announced that, and I thought, oh boy, I sure hope they're believing, because I knew that place, and to be honest with you, they'd have to change their thinking to have what they were announcing. And I got up there that night, and right in the middle of preaching, this lady falls off the back pew, and her son starts screaming, "My mama's dead." That ain't good for a miracle service. We're supposed to raise the dead, not kill them. And it's like, and he's screaming, "My mom is dead." And everyone's, you could see the fear gripping the people. And everyone's looking at me like, "What are you going to do?" And be honest with you, had I been one of the people in the pew, I probably would have felt the same way. But I had been alone with God. And that night, the Holy Ghost was on me. And when the Holy Ghost gets on me, I scare myself. So I ran down there, and it was a big church, about 700 people there that night. And I ran back to the back pew, and I picked this lady up. She was only 85 pounds, so I could do it. But I picked her up, I started shaking her, and I was going to say, "Be healed in Jesus' name," or "Come back to life," or something that made sense. But when I'm under the anointing, a lot of times what I say does not make sense, or it's scary. I started shaking her, and this is what came out of my mouth, and I'm hearing myself say it. I'm thinking, "Don't say that, just don't say that." And this is what I said. I started shaking her, I said, "Lady, you die in your time, not mine." And I'm thinking, I don't mean to be this way. And I'm saying, I looked, I said, "No one dies in my service. Do you hear me? No one dies during my service. You die on your time, not mine." I kept wanting to say, "Come back, though. Just come back, though." It worked anyway. She came, her eyes came back up. She just, she was there. By that time, the paramedics had, they had called the paramedics, and she's hitting her son, said, "I want to hear the word, I want to hear the word, but mama, you got to go to the hospital." And her son was a doctor, a medical doctor. So they strapped her in, rolled her out. I went back there to preach the next year. She wasn't there. I wasn't going to ask. Her son was there. I was hoping he wouldn't be either, but he was. And he comes up after me, a service, comes up to me after the service and says, "I bet you want to know where my mama is." And, there are times when you're a preacher, you just want to lie. Because if I was honest, I said, "No, I really don't care right now." I mean, because I didn't want to hear it. He said, "I bet you want to know where my mama is." So I asked the Holy Ghost, I said, "What can I say?" And the Holy Spirit say, "Just say that you bet she's in a better place." That will always work. I knew she was saved. So she died, she went to heaven. That's a better place. So I said, "Well, I bet she's in a better place." He smiled real big and said, "Yes, she is. She's in Hawaii." And he said, "Let me tell you something. I don't know what you did to my mama, but you shook the hell out of her." He said, "I'm a medical doctor." He mentioned all the things she had wrong with her. He said, "When you shook her, she was totally healed. All that stuff just came off of her." Well, I didn't shake her. If I shook her, nothing would have happened. She would remain dead. I would look stupid. Come on now. But when the anointing of God's on you, come on. When the Spirit of God's on you, when Jesus is doing the shaking, come on, the same Spirit.
Amen.
Then something supernatural can happen. And God wants to come upon your flesh. You don't have to be as weird as me. You just have to be as weird as you. Amen. See, I don't know about you, and I'm going to be all over the place tonight, but we're going to get this thing. Last year was the first year of my life when it was over. I'm a very positive person. I'm ultra positive. When the year ended last year, I said, thank you, Jesus. That was a year from whatever. It just was a tough year on me. I don't know about everybody else. I just know about me. Last year, I had five or six really close friends, including my pastor of many years, Billy Joe Daugherty, go home and be with the Lord, die too early, die wrong. You know, and that was tough. You know, physically, I went through so much last year, and I'm about 90% back. I mean, I played 18 holes of golf in the rain here yesterday, walking it. That didn't help my golf game, but at least it gave me some exercise. Shows how smart I am, but I just am happy I can walk. But the bottom line is, what I want to announce is, you know, last year, you know what brought healing to me at the very end of the year is when Oral Roberts died. Because he died right. You know? Even though we were very close to Rob, I was so thrilled. You know, 3 weeks before he died, he announced in a public meeting. He said, I'm going home to be with Evelyn in heaven. We're going to celebrate our anniversary on Christmas Day in heaven because that's where their anniversary is. I'm going home for Christmas. He wasn't sick at that time. God just showed him. The only reason he hung around was he wanted Oral Roberts University to become debt-free, which it became debt-free last year. And, you know, he also, his greatest concern with it was they'd have the right president of ORU. You know, he had said, you know, he put Richard in a position Richard shouldn't have been in without knocking Richard. He just, you know, thought he took the natural progression. Well, it wasn't God's choice. But Mark Rutland, who's now the president of ORU, is. So everything, and you know, when he was on his deathbed, he called the family in. And they started singing the tent revival songs, and the power of God filled the room. And he stopped in the middle of this, and I love the way he did this. He said, I want to sing a song that we made famous, but we're going to change the words. The song was something good's going to happen to you, he said, but I want to sing it something good that's about ready to happen to me. Because he said, you're going to see something good happen to me. And as he was singing, something good is going to happen to me, he died and went home to be with the Lord. And with a big smile on his face. That's the way you go, baby. But Oral Roberts' death ushered the church into a new season. And many of us don't recognize what's taking place. You need to know the times and the seasons. You know, as long as Moses was alive, Joshua and Caleb could not go in the promised land. They would have been out of order. So literally, they were not waiting for a whole generation to die. God just said that whole generation would die. They're only waiting for one man to die. That was Moses. Because Moses was not allowed to go in. As long as Moses was alive, they were not allowed to go beyond their leader. So they had to stay in the wilderness until the leader died. I believe the charismatic leader of this last generation was Oral Roberts. Most of what we know in the church, from seed faith to God is a good God to healing in the mainstream to the fact that charismatics were not supposed to be brain dead or brainless. You know what I mean? Almost everything he did, he was fought on. He was fought on building the university. He was fought on, you know, bringing healing to the mainstream. He was fought on everything he did. But he, when you're a pioneer, it's part of it. And he brought us to this point. And I remember being in a closed meeting with Oral, and he wouldn't say it publicly. He said, but he believed his death would be the beginning of a new season for the church. I believe we're in a new season. I believe this year things are changed. It doesn't mean everything's changed in your life yet, but what it means is when the thoughts of the past season come, cast them down because it's not like the last season. Come on now. It's not like, you know, it's not here we go again, because we're in a new time frame. When what did God have to tell Joshua and Caleb? Take courage, guys. Now you enter in. Now go for it. Come on now. Take courage. You've been preaching it. Now walk in it. Take courage. It's your season now. It's your, there's no looking back. Moses is dead. It's a new season. Come on, somebody. The past move of God is dead. We're in a fresh move. And we may be preaching the right message, but we better not do it in a retro manner, or we're going to be in trouble. Come on, we must stay current with the kingdom. Every one of you has designer genes. Think about that. In Psalm 139, you were wonderfully, fearfully, in verse 13, fearfully and wonderfully made. You were knit together in your mother's womb. You were genetically designed on purpose. Every one of you has something that needs to be manifest in the earth. Your seed that has something that has, and God doesn't want you back in seed form. He wants you back in harvest form. He doesn't want the seed back. He wants to harvest from the seed. Every one of you has something you can give. You're not here without a purpose. You're here at the right time, at the right place, doing the right thing in the right way with the right people. Every one of you has good works foreordained from the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians 2:10, that you should walk in. Not that you would, but you should. I mean, we're a different breed. We're a breed that's never been. We are a new creation. Too many of us are trying to even be John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the greatest under the old covenant. The least in the kingdom. The least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist ever was. I didn't say it. Jesus did. Why? Because we are a bunch of people that's never been before. We're a new breed. Old Testament saints believed in God. They didn't have God on the inside of them. We're a whole different breed. We're a bunch of dreamers. God's going to raise up a Joseph generation, a generation of dreamers. Come on now, the dreamers are coming. The dreamers are coming. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? God's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Old men are going to have dreams. Young men will have visions, which I always think is funny because my son is a dreamer and I'm a visionary. So he's my old man. You know, we named him Joseph. He's a dreamer. I mean, when I talk about dreams, I'm talking about dreams and visions in the same context. I don't actually separate them. Because either way, you see something. Some people see while they're awake. Some people see while they're asleep. Some people can daydream. Some people don't dream during the day, so God has to put them asleep. Come on now. Either way, you're happier when you're dreaming. Does this make sense to you? See, God's going to order our steps so we're going to be at the right place, at the right time, in the right way, doing the right thing with the right people. And the language of the Holy Spirit is dreams and visions. You know, let me show you how this works. Practically, I'm going to tell you, for some of you that were here last year, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. You know, last year my son was involved in a competition where he was ripped off. Royally. I told the story, and some of you remember that. And he walked out of that thing, and the things that beat him were science projects that were actually money order projects. He even showed me. He said, Daddy, they didn't even change anything. They just paid $25. And he said, the teachers had to know it. The judges had to know it. And he was so frustrated. He said, I quit. And my son is a genius. I mean, that's his zone. And not mine, it's just his. You know, I just want him to live in his dream world, not mine. You know, my job is just to make sure he fulfills the dream God has for him. But he walked away from that. He said, Daddy, I quit. I said, if you quit, those jerks win. And I'm pretty blunt. I said, you can't quit, son. I said, if you quit, you know what God calls you? I said, number one, you have a mind like no one I've ever seen in my life, including my dad, who had a doctorate in law by the time he was 18. I said, you're smarter than he was. And I said, I've never seen a mind like yours, and it's not yours. You're a steward. You're not an owner. God gave you that talent. I said, it's not, you have no choice in the matter. You're going to develop it. Because your mind is for this world. It's not just for you. And I said, if you bury your talent, if you quit, God's going to call you lazy, worthless. You can read it in Matthew 25. I said, I'm not going to let you quit, son. I got in his face. I said, next year, I begin to prophesy. I didn't even know I was prophesying. Half the time I'm prophesying, I don't know I'm prophesying. But I got in his face. I said, son, next year you're going to do something they've never seen done before. It's going to blow them away. You are going to literally, they're going to have to call in specialists. So, and the judges were college professors. You're going to have to call in specialists. They're going to have to call in specialists just to explain what you've done. But I said, you're going to do something that is going to bring some new ideas into this world. And I said, God's going to give you a dream. And I said, in that dream, there's going to be revelation. And I'm just, I'm just doing the coach thing. In fact, he calls me the dream coach. I've accepted that. I like that term. He said, Daddy, all you want to do is see everyone else's dream comes true. I said, if that's true, if everyone's dream comes true, then my dream comes true. Come on now. That's what I want to see. I want to see dreams fulfilled. So in February this year, he walks in the same competition. He got blown away. And by that time, they fired everyone that was involved in the last years. So they knew there was some corruption going on. We didn't say anything. We just prayed. But when we walked in, we were treated like royalty. I thought, what is going on? Because, I mean, you know, it's just that we're the only homeschooler in the whole thing. Everything else is like public school and private schools, and we're just the only homeschooler. Period. And yet they lead us into a place. Everyone gathers around, and all of a sudden these three men come. They're dressed really nice. Look real official. And they said, can we talk to your son? I said, who are you? They said, well, we're some of the head executives at Intel. They said, what he's done, we didn't know could be done. We need to ask him some questions. So, yeah, you talk to him. Well, he ended up winning that thing, which was easy enough to do, but he ended up going, you know, representing the state of Oklahoma in the international science thing. We've met executives from every single high-tech firm in the world almost. My son is, well, at the time he was 15, he's 16 now. And he literally has opened a whole, he didn't have to promote himself, his gift made room for him. But he's living in his own dream world. You know what I'm saying? It's his own dream world. It's things that, you know, he's got something going on next year. He said, Daddy, I know this has never been done before, but it can be done. You know what they told me from Intel? They say he sees things no one else can see. They said, when he explains it, we can see it, but we can't see it. And he has to see it so we can see it. And they asked him, they said, how did you get the... And they told me, they begged me, they said, don't ever put them in institutional learning. Don't. Because they would have put a lid on them. And he thinks so far outside the box. I said, well, we've taught them there is no box. But you know, I was listening to him, eavesdropping on the conversation with Intel people. Say, well, how did you get to be so smart? He said, well, there are a lot of smart people in the world. He said, the difference is I'm anointed smart. I heard that. I said, whoa, baby, I'm going to write that one down. That's good. But you know, the reality is God wants to come on every one of us. Come on now. It may not be the, you know, you may not be called to do what he does. I don't think most people are. But you know, he's known among the nations now. That's what Isaiah 61 verse 9 says, your offspring will be known among the nations. We've been claiming that since he was a little kid. Well, you know, he was basically competing against the greatest science minds in the world. Spent time with several Nobel Prize winners, which was, he almost told them they were jerks, but anyway. Especially when they talk about global meltdown. I mean, he almost had a meltdown. But we won't go there. I had to hold him back. I said, hey. But the bottom line is your gift will make room for you. God has a dream. He wants to come alive in you. And many of you, honestly, you've settled for a nightmare. You've settled for the reality of this world. God has it doesn't cost you anything to dream. It costs you everything not to dream. You know, what I found out is you know what a dream does? It restores your youth. Come on now. It makes you, regardless. I mean, people may say, get real. I've been real. It's depressing. Now I'm going to get, come on. Some of you, God wants to lift you above. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? He wants to give you a higher revelation. He wants the Holy Spirit to come on your flesh. See, a person without a dream is a person without a future. And a person without a future always returns to his past. That's why it says, forgetting what lies behind. Press towards the high mark, the goal. See, when we have no dreams, we have no goals. See, I expected my son to be in the international thing. I didn't expect him to do it this year. Expect him to do it either next year or the year after. He's a year ahead of schedule with me. But he belongs there. It's his zone. It's his zone. It's his zone. What is your zone? You know, I've been around people and what they can do with woodwork or what they can do, you know. I have friends that can cook and I can't get around them or gain too much weight. But the bottom line is, you know, what they can do in the kitchen is a miracle. It's heavenly. Some of you have visions of that before this service is over, and you're praying, I'll end quickly. Hallelujah. Some of you, I'm putting you to sleep, but I'm doing my job, because if you fall asleep in church, maybe you'll have a dream. See, dreams give you a future that make you achieve faith goals and reach higher and go further in life. You're a dreamer in the making. Your father, or your heavenly father's a dreamer. You're made in his image. I'm not talking about just conjuring up your own dreams, but going to God and let him give you that. And where are your passions and things? See, I found out something. One of the best ways to catch a dream is just get around dreamers. Now you're going to find out something about when you have a dream, a lot, you're going to have a lot of enemies. Because those people that are dreamless hate dreamers. Because it exposes their wounds and their hurts. Sometimes when you have a dream, God has to get you out of your environment to protect the dream. Ask Joseph. If Joseph had stayed at home, the best thing that ever happened to Joseph was being sold into slavery. And God allowed that to happen for one purpose. He had to protect the dream. Had he stayed in that house, a household of dream killers, they would have destroyed his ability to dream. So in order to protect the dream, he got him out of an environment that would have killed the dream. When they couldn't kill the dream, they tried to kill the dreamer. And the sad thing is, if you think about it, his dream was their salvation. You know, his dream was to benefit them directly. And to be honest with you, there are a lot of dream killers around. And many times your life will take turns that make no sense at all. But if you look at it from God's perspective, He is guarding the revelation in you. So He's getting you out of environments where you can't dream, into environments where you're free to dream. And there's a principle in Scripture, he that sees leads. So even when Joseph, who was a dreamer, was sold into slavery, he ended up ruling everything that was under his master's thing. When he was sent into prison, even the prisoners began to dream because a dreamer was among them. The anointing was contagious. And he ended up ruling the prison. Why? Because he who sees leads. And until his word, until the dream he had came to pass, it tested him. It was his word. It was his dream. It was his thing from God. It ain't been easier to give it up. If you give it up, you have no future. God, I believe this year God wants to fulfill dreams, but many of you, He wants to awaken the dreamer in you. He wants a dream that makes you wake up. Put on Christ, make no provision for the flesh. Does this make sense? See, when you have a dream, you see it, you say it, you pray it, you sow towards it, you do it. When you're a dreamer, many times you replay past victories, but then you pre-play future ones. When you're really a dreamer, you learn to cast down every thought and imagination contrary to the dream. I'm tired of people that say it can't be done because they're the ones doing nothing. They're the ones that say don't get your hopes up, so they have no hope at all. They're the ones hiding in the ditch when Goliath is there. David never even called Goliath a champion or a giant. Called him uncircumcised Philistine. Everyone else in the ditch were calling him a champion and a giant. So your way of looking at things, you know, if you look from God's perspective, you don't have to make your dream come true. You know what I love about my son? He literally went from prison to prime minister, in a sense, overnight. He went from literally losing something that was like way beneath him to being a ruler overnight. He didn't have to make room for himself. When we were out in California, we toured the headquarters of Intel and Google and all those places and met some of the high people. They didn't want me. It was his gift. I just was a tag along. I enjoyed tagging. But the bottom line is he didn't, you know, I'm so tired of us feeling like we have to do this and do that and manipulate this and manipulate that and manipulate this for God to ever get anything done. And to be honest with you, we're stopping God from doing anything through all our manipulations. Why is it going to happen? Because God said it. Joseph couldn't manipulate anything. He just held on to a dream when it made no sense. I mean, when you're in slavery, he still had a dream. Everyone coming, bowing down to him. In prison. Even after he interpreted dreams of the prisoners rightly and said, hey, when you get restored to the king's presence, remember me. He forgot them. If anyone had a right to be bitter, it was the dreamer. But Joseph knew something. Bitterness kills dreams. does. You have to cast down every thought, every imagination. A couple more quick things and we're going to be out of here, and some of you are going to say, thank God. See, a dreamer sees the future as though it's already here. You always see yourself at the finish line while you're just starting. You know, when my son got to where he was, I saw him there. I knew he was going to be there. It was no big deal. I love it because this year he entered in. He didn't win out there. There's some amazing things. But you know, he looked at it, he said, Daddy, and what I noticed when he was out there, he's just as smart as anyone out there. These are the top minds in the world. He said, Daddy, now I know how to package the deal. He said, we win next year. See, you know, his thing was his dream was to make it. Now his dream is to win it. God will elevate your dreaming through success. From faith to faith, from glory to glory. Come on now. And be honest with you, he was probably one of the few people out there that wasn't Muslim, including the United States representatives. You know, it'd be just like God. Come on now. It'd be just like God. Amen. With all these other foreign gods in the place to elevate the one. Yes. Come on now. The one with the extraordinary spirit. Yes. The dreamer. God wants to exalt you so he can be seen. What? When you start following the dream, he can. He can. He can lift you up. This is your season. Like I said, if you want to get, you know what the best thing in the world is, you get around. I love being around dreamers. I don't even care if they're dreamers in my realm. I get around. Right now, I'm spending time with Fortune 500 people. I've spent time with a Hollywood producer who's about ready to produce a Christian movie that's going to should hit later this year or early next year. I've spent time with movers and shakers and dreamers. And you know, we're all pregnant with something. We all have something God's put on the inside of us. And when I get around them, they spark me and I spark them. It's almost like when Elizabeth and Mary got together and the baby started leaping. Come on now. It's like, you know? Because dreamers don't think in a box. They live in their own little world. It's a wonderful life. I want you to get back in your dream world. God wants you to live there. It's called the Spirit. It's a place where nothing's impossible. It's a place where it's above you. It's a place of life and life more abundantly. It's a place where you can smile at the future. You can't get there by being in this reality. You have got to enter into kingdom living. Kingdom living is dreaming. Why? Because the dreams God gives you, the reason he gives it to you is God will never show you anything that's good you're not supposed to participate in making happen. And he'll never show you evil that you cannot stop. If he shows you anything, it's because you have a part to play in it. So whether it's a dream or a vision, it's an assignment. I'm glad my son is fulfilling his assignment. For years, everyone said, don't you want him to be a preacher like you? I said, no. What a waste of a mind. I'm sorry. I'm not saying, you know, my son can preach to people. He's already spent time with people who would never give me the time of day. And they're not just asking about scientific knowledge. He's able to be a witness and a light in places I can never get to. And, you know, he's going to bring ideas that are going to make this world a better place. I'll do what I'm called to do and I'm grateful for. I love my dream world. I don't want him living my dream. I want him living his. Because if everyone will get into the dream God has for them, this whole earth would be filled with the glory of God. We'd all be happier. We'd all be fulfilled. Am I helping someone today? If God's put a dream in you, come on. If he hasn't put a dream in you, start believing God. Say, God, give me a dream. Give me a vision, God. I want to see again. I want to dream again. Show me new things. Show me. You're never too old to dream. Never. Never too young to see. Just got to become like a little kid again. I want every head bowed, no one looking around. If you fall asleep, have a dream. Just make sure it's a God one. We'll get into how you know the difference later this week. But you know. But I have no problem with people snoring in my service anymore. I said, I do my job. Love preaching this stuff. Don't get offended when people nod out. As long as they nod the right way. I need to ask a question today. First question I need to ask is, it's really impossible to dream God's type of dreams when you're not in right relationship with God. You know, true dreams come by the presence of the Holy Spirit being poured upon all flesh, and that happens when you position yourself rightly with God. Is there anyone here today, maybe you're not right with God, maybe, you know, maybe you've just been out of fellowship, maybe you've never asked Jesus into your heart, maybe you have, but you walked away, and it's just time to get some things right. You know, there's no condemnation, but you know you have to reposition yourself to receive. If that's you, raise your hand, anybody. So I need some help today. Everybody know you okay? How many of you say, I want that anointing on me? I need the Holy Ghost upon me, upon me, upon me, upon me, upon me. I've settled a life of a natural living with him just in me, but not upon me. And I'm ready to say, God, I'm ready to dream again. I'm just ready to dream again. I'm ready to see my dreams restored. I'm ready to see God fulfill some of those things he's put in me and I've allowed to lay dormant. I'm waking them back up. It's amazing how God wakes up dreamers. It's one thing when you have a dream. It's another thing when the dream has you. You can tell when the dream has you because everything you experience in life is filtered through that dream. If it doesn't fit the dream mold, you reject it. Period. How many of you say, I want that anointing? I want that anointing on my life. I want you to raise your hand, anybody. I want to pray for the dreamer anointing. So if you say, I need dreams, I need to get my dreams alive again. I need to come alive again. It's just time. It's time. It's time to go on to a new season of dreaming. You know? Sometimes we've been stuck in the same old, same old, same old. And at one time it was new. But now it's so old, it's become, you know, we don't even need God to show up anymore. Be honest with you, the reason you're so frustrated in it is he's really not in that anymore. He's moved on. He's trying to take you to move on. So if you want prayer, maybe you need prayer for healing, I want you to come forward real quick. Can I pray for you real quick? The quicker you come, the quicker you get out of here. Come on now, there's something. Come on, if you raise your hand, come on. It's just time to dream again. It's time to dream again. It's our year. You know, there's so many dreams that God wants to fulfill in our life. He's not finished fulfilling stuff concerning us. You know, there are things that we're entering into this year that God showed me 25 years ago and wasn't time. You know, we're still in the process of starting the publishing house and we're close to it now. You know, we were talking about things. My wife has been talking about certain things that she's going to be put out for ladies' meetings around the country for new formats and things that God has just showed her. you know, and it's almost like things are popping, creativity's moving again. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes when we, you know, we're best when we're creative. We are, you know, when every one of us has our own creative zone, you know, it's our zone. It's what makes us tick. So just lift your hands up to heaven and thank God. Thank God that he still has dreams. Say, God, thank you for the dreams. Thank you for the visions. Thank you, God, that you're awakening the dreamer on the inside of me. Thank you, you're not finished with me yet, God. Thank you, God, that Lord, you have plans to give me a future and a hope.